Welcome to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. The documentary film, The Genius of Marion, is an intimate personal exploration of the impact Alzheimer's disease has on one family. It's the story of filmmaker Banker White's mother, and he joins the program later this hour. Plus, Google is coming to Vermilion tomorrow to capture images for a virtual tour of the National Music Museum. Museum Director Cleveland Johnson joins the program for more about what it means to be a part of the Google Cultural Institute. But first, South Dakota has more than 6,700 buildings, structures, objects, and sites on the National Register of Historic Places. The historic and aesthetic value of these places is generally understood, but is there any economic value to historic preservation? A recent study conducted by Rutgers University in collaboration with the State Historic Preservation Office of the South Dakota State Historical Society finds that there are multi-million dollar economic and tax gains from historic preservation in South Dakota. Some details and examples are outlined in a half-hour program airing on SDPB-TV this evening. It's called Putting History to Work. Joining us now for more about the study is Ted Spencer. He's director of the State Historic Preservation Office. And Ted, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
You bet, Carl. Glad to be with you today.
Well, why was this study conducted?
Well, primarily, as our office works with both public entities, local governments, public corporations, small businesses, private citizens, we get the question a lot of times, especially from the business community, on what's the benefit? What's the benefit? And it's very easy for us to talk about how reusing, rehabilitating older historic buildings are great for the environment. It's 100% green activity. And it was pretty easy, especially people that are historically minded, to talk about, well, you know, the culture and legacy of our great state of South Dakota and why that's important. It's knowledge and perspective for the future, and it's a sense of where we came from and the importance of all that. But when it came to the economics, we knew it had economic benefits, but we just didn't do a good job of quantifying that. And so we thought, you know, we really need to do a thorough study and analysis of what the economic impacts to the state are with all our historic preservation activities. Because as you mentioned, we've got over 6,700 structures in the state that are designated on our national and state register as being historic. And there's much more than that. They just haven't been identified, nominated, or processed at this time. But we know there's a lot more out there. So, to address people who maybe are coming from a perspective of, you know, what's the economic viability of this activity, we did this study through Rutgers University.
Were there certain areas in particular that were examined in this study?
No, they just basically looked at what financial incentive programs we offer as a state historic preservation office, what federal government programs are out there for historic preservation, and of course this included grant monies from the Deadwood Grant. And then they said, now let's see what the impact of those monies were from either historic preservation grant funding, our state legislative enacted property tax moratorium for historic preservation, or federal tax incentive programs. And then, of course, there's additional private donations, historical societies that are doing preservation work as well. So they looked at all of that, and they came up with some actual numbers and data that they put into a quite comprehensive report titled The Economic Impacts of Historic Preservation in South Dakota. We've got, in 2013, they came out with an executive summary, and then we also had the actual report that was about 250 pages. But it had the actual impacts statewide, looking at everything, and as much data as they could, and they went out and did survey work and then looked at communities that used preservation grant funds, the property tax moratorium, or federal tax incentive credits for preservation, and they compiled all that.
Did this take in account, as they're putting this together, a number of different years? Or was there a time frame that was being measured?
Well, they tried to gather data since about 1989, and that's when the legislature authorized gambling in Deadwood, with the major component of that legislation being a lot of the revenues generated, tax revenues generated from legalization of gambling would be designated for preservation activities statewide. So they kind of used that year as a benchmark, and then they went forward from there, and then they did an actual deep look at the year 2011 to 2012 and pulled the data out for that particular year, because that's about when they were doing the study was 2012, so they looked back 1 year, and they had a lot of current information and data to work with. And so when the study came out in 2013, it primarily focused in that year, 2011 to 2012, in terms of what was generated in tax revenues, jobs, overall economic benefits to the state.
Are there certain areas that see the most economic benefit from historic preservation? I'm thinking construction, for example.
Yes, definitely. Construction is at the top of the list. And in fact, they show that if you're doing brand new construction, it's about the return back to the local community is about a 50% return with brand new construction, whereas, and there's a variety of factors why that is, but if you're doing rehabilitation and restoration, they showed about 80% of that economic activity remains right there with the local community in terms of laborers, contractors, plumbers, electricians, and then the actual materials being used. Because oftentimes, if you think about it, if you have an older historic building, those materials are more than likely coming or being developed within that local area. Whereas if you're building something brand new, I mean, you can ship in prefab buildings from pretty much anywhere. So that material may not be derived from the local area.
I'm thinking that construction on historic preservation and rehabilitating buildings is something of a short-term economic impact. Did the study get into the difference between and the different impacts of short-term versus long-term economic impacts?
Yes, it did, actually. You know, there are the short-term construction impacts with the rehabilitation, restoration, but what was interesting are the long-term impacts, and that's what tonight's program is really going to focus on in particular, because the long-term impacts were quite significant to the state. We had four case studies that were highlighted as part of the overall economic study, and those four case studies, South Dakota Public Broadcasting did a terrific job of putting together a nice 30-minute segment program tonight at 8:30 on South Dakota Public TV. Will be broadcast on these four case studies. They looked at the Windsor Block area on St. Joseph Street in Rapid City. They looked at the Charles Gurney Hotel located down there in Yankton, the former South Dakota School for the Blind, which is now the Buffalo Ridge Resort, that was restored up there in Gary, South Dakota. And then lastly, they examined the Security Bank building in Sioux Falls and the restoration that was done there. And they were able to show how through reuse of these older structures into either, be it as Buffalo Ridge Resort is a it's now a long-term permanent employment, basically a corporate resort that's being utilized quite extensively, but it's providing long-term employment now for 56 people, and that's just in a town of about 635 up there in Gary. They showed how the Charles Gurney Hotel has been converted into housing development for seniors, and it's great because it's centrally located there in Yankton, where they can just a quick one-block walk to the grocery store, the pharmacy, hospitals are nearby. It works out great for senior citizens and some low-income housing. Great job in converting that old hotel. The Windsor Block there in Rapid City, an extensive historic rehab downtown. This summer I was down in Rapids. Actually, I had in-laws on vacation, and we spent some time downtown Rapid City walking around, and they loved it. I mean, the historic buildings, the beautiful restoration, the brickwork, the statues, it's just a great job. But there's not only, it's just not the environment that's created, but it was also the converted upper floors that were converted to either office space or condominiums, and it's providing some great tax revenue right now to Rapid City, where in the past they were pretty much vacant, unused buildings.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm talking with Ted Spencer. He's director of the State Historic Preservation Office, and the Historic Preservation Office conducted a survey in collaboration with Rutgers University about the economic impact of historic preservation in South Dakota. Details and examples are outlined in a half-hour program airing tonight on SDPB-TV. It's called Putting History to Work. You can see that at 8:30 Central, right after the Dakota Life. Ted, you mentioned the conversion of the School for the Blind in Gary. The other three examples make a little bit more sense, I guess, on the surface. They're bigger communities, but this one seemed like took a certain amount of imagination, perhaps, on an entrepreneurship to get something like that and take a School for the Blind and see that it could be these old buildings that had been fallen into disrepair and to turn them into something special, this resort.
It did. It did. And, you know, it was, it took vision, a strategic vision, actually, on the part of the owners to convert that in that location. But it was a beautiful job, beautiful grounds. It's a very peaceful setting, and it worked out great. And, you know, these business people, they'll sit down and they'll run the numbers, and they looked at the benefits of the state historic property tax moratorium. They also got state aid and assistance for hazardous material removal. They got utility company rebates because what they were doing was a very much green activity, and there were much quicker recovery costs in terms of restoration of the buildings and building something new. So they ran the numbers, and it made economic sense for them to do this, and that's what all of these business owners have done throughout the state. These are just four of many examples of some great restoration business activity that's taking place and continues to take place to this day. For all the citizens of the state, one of the things I'll point out is that heritage tourism accounts for about 24% of the total tourism in the state, which is now close to a $2 billion industry for our state, the second largest industry. Behind, of course, agriculture. So heritage tourism accounts for a significant portion of that revenue. I think last year it amounted to about $240 million total in heritage tourism. And that's Native American heritage, people coming to look at the Old West history, museums, historic places, historic districts, historic towns, archaeological sites, fossils, That all plays into it. But heritage tourists spend more money and a longer period of time when they're here visiting the state than your normal tourists. So definite economic impacts from that perspective as well.
Why do heritage tourists stick around longer?
I think they just have a real interest in learning the history and the culture of the state, and to do that, they stick around longer, and they spend more time and more money to learn and delve deeper into our state than other tourists would. It just works out that way. But in fact, the South Dakota Department of Tourism did a survey in 2013 that pointed this out. That's where I got a lot of this information. So it's not a win-lose proposition. It's most definitely, we believe, a win-win solution for people if they look at an old, potentially discarded, abandoned structure Look at rehabilitation and reuse. Look at the financial incentives our office can offer, the federal government can offer, housing and urban development can offer for low-income or senior housing. And you'll probably find out the numbers economically will work in your favor.
So how does the State Historic Preservation Office work then with, say, a business person who's interested in rehabilitating, preserving one of these old historic structures?
We invite anyone to call us up right here in friendly Pierre, South Dakota, and we're here at the Cultural Heritage Center. We have a web page, South Dakota State Historic Preservation Office. If you just put that into Google, you'll bring up all our contact information, emails, phone numbers. I have a dedicated person that works with business owners on techniques, materials, best practices for restoring older historic structures, as well as facilitating and assisting them with the state property tax moratorium applications or federal income tax credits. We also have information explaining grant opportunities with the Deadwood Grant Program that goes for historic rehabilitation and restoration and assistance. It's a matching grant program that provides help for people that want to restore historic structures.
Is there much more interest in historic preservation in recent years? I'm thinking you go back to, say, you know, the 60s when a lot of these historic buildings were no longer used, the original purposes, like this, take, for example, the School for the Blind in Gary, and then they fell into disrepair. Is this something that in recent years has been more of a concern or more value that we need to take care of these buildings?
I really think it is. I think not only are the economics driving it, but as I mentioned previously, the environmental considerations. Everyone's concerned about the environment, and this has been proven time and again. It's 100% green activity. It can take 20 to 80 years for a new building, even if it's energy efficient, to overcome the climate change impacts just from its construction, whereas it normally takes less than 5 years to restore, rehabilitate a historic building and recover those climate change impacts. And this is from numerous studies done on this type of activity. I think, too, you know, that sense of our culture and legacy, it's becoming more and more important to people when they see a lot of our historic buildings and structures and sites disappearing, and that's happening every year, and they want to preserve as much of that as they can. If you think about it, Carl, these historic buildings, cultural sites, and monuments in our state, there are community landmarks and sources of pride. If I go to Sioux Falls, Rapid City, Aberdeen, Mobridge, Brookings, and I look at a strip mall, that strip mall is going to pretty much look the same no matter what town I'm in. A Burger King, McDonald's, and Arby's is going to look the same. But, you know, in Aberdeen, a Wiley Park, a Fort Sisseton up in Sisseton, Laura Ingle Wilder's homestead in the Smet, even in right down the road here in Blount, South Dakota, we have the old Mentor Graham House, who many historians say was one of the largest influences on President Abraham Lincoln's life. His home is there in Blount, South Dakota. So these landmarks and sites, it kind of is what distinguishes our communities from the other communities and gives them their character and uniqueness, and that's important, I think.